Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday, December 26th, the last Sunday of the year. Last episode of the year. I can't imagine we do another one of these before the end of the year. TJ Pinger, Richie Barnes. Richie, how was your Christmas? How are you doing today?
Good, man. I'm, fighting a little bit of a, coquito hangover, but we'll do all right without that. But yeah, I had a good Christmas, man. We didn't really do anything. You know, I work at the hospital, and our new CEO started like 3 or 4 years ago, started a tradition where they just have free lunch for anyone who wants, the patients, visitors, staff in the cafeteria. They have different department leaders serve the food. So my wife and I went there for about an hour, then came home and kind of just relaxed. A really nice Christmas, probably much different from yours with kids, TJ.
Yeah, ours was pretty crazy. So my daughter got up at 1 a.m. So, you know, I didn't really realize this, but like as kids get older, like they wake up in the middle of the night. And then if they're like, you know, as long as nothing crazy is going on, they usually just like kind of roll back over and go to sleep. It's no big deal. Because we get alerts all the time from her camera that say like unusual motion or something. And
Christmas is different, huh?
Christmas Eve is different. Or yeah, like the night of Christmas Eve, you know, Christmas morning is different. So I thought, and we went to bed at like 12:30. Like we went to bed late on Christmas Eve because it was a busy day too. And you know, anyway, so just she comes running in at 1 a.m. And I didn't realize it was 1 until like the next morning when my wife said something. But my daughter comes in the room and she's like, "Mommy and Daddy, Santa left presents." And we were just like, "Okay, baby." And we could tell it was dark outside. So we're like, "All right, let's just sleep for a little bit. And then like, let's get up, you know, we'll go out." And so anyway, yeah, 1 a.m. So we got up at 7, did the whole presents thing, let the kids play around a little bit. I fried a turkey because my family requested it. And then we went to my mother-in-law's and hung out for a good part of the day, got home, watched a little NBA, had a little bourbon, and went to bed. So it was a busy day, but I will say once we're over, like the morning was busy. Once we're over at my mother-in-law's, like everybody just wants to play with the kids. Everybody just, you know, I'm just
crashed on the couch in the corner for a little bit. Yeah.
I took a little Christmas Day nap. Those are always elite. So, oh, yeah. No, but I'm with it. I saw you made a prime rib. Excellent. It looks great. I the one thing I learned on the timeline is that a lot of people don't know what prime rib is, how to cook prime rib, how to enjoy prime rib. A lot of people are telling on themselves.
So that was actually 24 hours. That was from, I think, last year, just because there's I'm sure you saw the prime rib that was going viral. And I had plenty of issues with that plate, but the temperature it was cooked was not one of them. So I was curious to see how many people would think that was undercooked, because to me, that is perfection. We did actually made fillets and twice baked potatoes last night. So
I saw the picture. I like the picture. Sheesh. When you posted it today, it reminded. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the really simple recipe that we both have used, I stole from you, or you gave to me, I guess. I didn't ask for it. But yeah, no, it definitely is.
Yep.
It definitely is the move. Like you say, yeah, you cannot. Well, I mean, you could mess it up, but like you've got to intentionally just like not do what the directions say to mess it up.
Well, so. well if you take the extra step of actually using the internal thermometer while it's cooking, then it truly is dummy proof. You can't mess it up at that point.
So I've never done that. I always just do the timing thing where you 2 hours and let it go So I've never used the probe, but it always comes out fantastic. I think I'm going to do one of them, like a prime rib this week before Christmas and New Year's. We'll talk about it later because you wrote down resolutions on the outline, but we always do Whole 30 in January.
Yeah.
And so we like crap this week upcoming because we deprive ourselves for an entire month after this. But I'm glad you had a good Christmas. Did you get anything exciting? Did Lindsay get you anything? Did you get her anything? You guys do gifts?
Not really. We don't really care. We both probably spent like $50 each on Christmas. So we're more so, you know, we send gifts to the niece and my sister up in the Carolinas. We don't really, it's not really a big gift giving thing for us anymore.
Yeah. We didn't, this is probably the first year my wife and I like literally got each other nothing, which we usually don't get gifts, but usually like we'll get a card each or, you know, we'll do some candies or chocolates or something. We didn't even get a card. Yeah. Like two kids plus pregnant, no, nothing. My daughter even noticed it. She's like, what did you and mommy get? And I was just like, oh, next year we need to get each other something because it was awkward. So anyway,
so go ahead. Real quick, then we'll get into Florida State because people don't really care about our Christmas and whatnot.
No, they but care. I love this.
As our gifts came in, we just gave them to each other. Didn't even wrap them, right? Amazon package comes in. I'm like, oh, hey, babe, here's one of your presents, right? So I got her some, like, Friends-related stuff. That's her favorite TV show. But I did get her a card that I gave her on Christmas Eve night, and she felt so bad because she didn't get me a card. And I purposely, like, the next morning I woke up, I was purposely being a jerk about it. I'm like, hey, can I get my card now? Knowing she didn't have one.
Yeah, we almost always do the card thing. And this year, like I said, two kids and being pregnant, like it's too much. So
yeah.
no cards this year, but we did get a new phone. We both got new phones. We both got like the new iPhone. And they were like the iPhone 13 Plus or whatever, cause we switched service. And so they were supposed to be delivered like the week of Christmas because they were all back ordered. And so we're like, oh, that's what we'll get for each other. And then they came in like a week later. So we got them like the week, like I had it up in Gainesville when we played Florida. Like I had just got it like the day before. So we had kind of said that those would be our Christmas presents to each other. And then we got them in Thanksgiving time. And it was like, oh, I guess, you know, we got a month early Christmas present, but being an adult's great. Speaking of, Sam, I see you tweeting right now. I know you're probably watching, but you just got to live a little, bro. Let that cow, the cow's alive still just a tad, and you live a little too. Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. Visit both of their locations at 1818 West Tennessee Street and 2550 North Monroe. Tell them that Double Fries, No Slaw sent you. We need to do a, I'm going to chat with them, try and chat with them this week. I know my guy's probably out hunting, but we need to do it. Another giveaway with them. I think first of the year giveaway would be dope for sure. All right, let's jump into it. Got a shorter episode today now that we spent 7-8 minutes talking about Christmas and prime rib and meat and everything else on the show. Pause. But Florida State got a couple of Christmas presents, landed a couple of transfer wide receivers that we'll both chat about in just a second. But Florida State not so good on the recruiting trail at the wide receiver position. Lost out on Mortimer. Lost out on, obviously, Travis Hunter would have played a little bit of wide receiver and helped you in that room just a tad. But they've done pretty well on the transfer front. Talk to us about these two guys that Florida State just got, Richie.
Yeah, well, it was just a few hours after we went off the air last week, Micah Pittman, who a lot of Florida State fans are familiar with now, the transfer from Oregon. Interesting recruitment there because Dillingham kind of led up that recruitment. And when he announced he was going to Oregon, and you know, you guys had Micah Pittman on the FSU Spacious with Josh Newberg, a really good interview. So if anyone wants to go back to that and check it out, but he said actually, even after Dillingham took the job at Oregon, he kind of still pushed him to Florida State as an ode to Mike Norvell. Really cool story, but you know, not extremely productive. You know, he did go on his YouTube channel, which is very large if you want to go find that. I talked about how it, you know, he played in a run heavy offense, which Florida State kind of is too, so I don't know. But one thing he said in the Spaces to Josh that I loved, he was asking about, Josh asked Micah Pittman about returning punts. He's like, just so you know, if you can field a punt in a flip the field, the Dope Campbell Stadium will go nuts. He's like, oh, it's not an if, it's a win. He's like, catching punts is easy. I've been doing it since eighth grade. So that had to be music to Florida State fans' ears.
Yeah, I think I have that. Real quick, I'll play that. I think that's good. Let's listen to it, and we'll keep rolling.
Florida State needs playmakers. The fans have been, you know, dying for that. And I'll tell you what, if you can get on the field as a punt and you can flip the field, you can make something happen, that you will get Doak on its feet. You will get that place exploding. Florida State fans, they can't wait to have somebody back there that can make a play with the punt in the punt game.
Yeah, it won't be if I can. It's when I will. Because, like,
let's go.
What I'm saying? So I'm not. It's really funny because I knock on wood or anything like that, but I don't see the difficulties in catching a punt. Like, I don't understand what's so hard about it. I think I've repped it ever since I was a young kid, since eighth grade. So, I mean, it's kind of like I don't know, like something you rep every single day. Like, it just becomes routine to you, you know? So For me, it became very routine, and I have like the record at Eugene of catching as many punts as like. So you'd catch one punt and then you hold it in your arm. I caught 7 in a row in my. So I was holding 7.
You know, FSU has a circus on campus too. You might be able to try out for that.
Yeah, I could do that.
So pretty good stuff there with him. Like I said, if you want to hear that full interview, you can roll over to patreon.com/FSU Spaces. The interview is free on there. It's got his picture, so you'll be able to see all of that there and enjoy it. So anyway, all that said, excited to have Pittman. I know that is going to end up getting old takes exposed, though. Like, I'm just going to say that. Like,
he's a muffle punt.
Bro, like, as soon as I put it out, like, I was like, let me just go ahead and mute this tweet. Because the first time, like, he'll muffle punt in a game we're up, like, 15 or, like, 14 points or something. It won't even matter. But, yeah, because I'm the one that tweeted it. Like, that's just how things like that work, bro. It's like, I'm definitely getting revisited. But he was cool to talk to. He was really, really excited. To kind of chat with, like you mentioned, the big thing to me was Dilly still kind of pushing him to Florida State, which I thought was neat. I thought that, you know, Dilly and Mike are obviously really, really close. And for him to kind of still push him to go that way, I thought that was big and really says a lot about their relationship and the kind of person that Kenny Dillingham is. So
it's funny. Oregon fans seem to be getting a little annoyed with him because he's always posting pictures still in his 4th and 14 shirts, quoting Jordan Travis, McKenzie Milton, hopping in y'all's faces every day. I love Dillingham. He's my favorite former assistant we've ever had.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a ton of fun. So anyway, not the only pickup that Florida State got. They also picked up Johnny Wilson, a 6'6 or 6'7, depending on where you're looking, what you're reading. Wide receiver out of Arizona State, has 3 years of eligibility left. Had some good production in 4 games before going out and being injured. Thoughts on people have been calling him Baby Kelvin Benjamin, which I'm okay with. Nice. That. You know, be pretty cool if that was really the case. So we'll see. But you know, another big wide receiver that can go up and win one-on-one battles. And again, Florida State really, really struggled at the wide receiver position in the high school ranks, but went out and got guys that, you know, we talked about. I mean, Josh talked about this Friday on the Spaces. I don't know if you were in there or not, but how, you know, when you're going for high school guys, a lot of times those are developmental. They're, I don't want to say projects, but they're not going to make immediate impacts. Two guys here that should make pretty immediate impacts for Florida State. And so, big to get those guys on the outside and kind of have them ready to go. Obviously Micah as well in the return game, but we can't hate on what Florida State's doing in the transfer portal at wide receiver right now.
Yeah. And like you said, a big dude, 6'6", 6'7", 230, almost like a tight end size. I'm not going to pretend I went back and watched a bunch of his film, but definitely getting a big body receiver on the outside like that. That's exciting. And you know, the transfer portal's really changed everything because you can't even really properly rank a recruiting class until like next summer when you have all the transfers in and you can say, okay, did we meet all the needs we need? Because you think about, you know, Dylan Gibbons, we didn't get him until after spring when he chose to leave Notre Dame last year after going through spring practice there. But yeah, the whiffs on a receiver at the high school ranks, but you know, two, you know, hopeful, promising talents coming in. And, you know, the portal changes things also. And, you know, 5 years ago, TJ, we would have took a flyer on, you know, a 2-star, 3-star receiver from South Florida that, you know, may had grade issues, whatever it may be, just because it's kind of like vacation days. If you don't use those scholarships, you're not going to, you know, you can't pocket those for next year.
Yeah, might as well use them on somebody. Yeah.
So now you're seeing coaches, you know, hold off on those, you know, more unknown high school players and going, okay, this guy at least has college tape at a Power 5 school. We can work with him because otherwise these guys play at really small high schools, really small divisions. It's really tough to try and evaluate that.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've talked about that. Josh has talked about like where he sees that, that, you know, the transfer portal making the biggest impact. And it probably is with your lower guys, your guys that need you to take a flyer on them, your three-star guys or your lower three-star, you know, certainly guys like that. Because if you're a college football team, are you taking a guy that's a, you know, a project and might be ready in 3 years? Or are you taking a guy that can kind of make an immediate impact like right away, you know? And most of the time you're going to want somebody that can make an immediate impact right away. The transfers count the same. There's not a salary cap, right? So
yeah, and this year's extra unique because they can bring in like 32 players between high school and transfer. So I don't think they're going to find another 14 transfers or whatever it may be, but that they have that opportunity or that option should they choose it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Florida State not done at transfer wide receiver. We'll talk about some other positions that we'll get down to here in just a minute. But Florida State also pursuing Illinois wide receiver transfer Deuce Spann. Didn't sound like there's any kind of visit plan just yet, but is committing in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Florida State is going to have a pretty big recruiting weekend both of the next 2 weekends. They kind of get lucky with how the semester you can have it up to 7 days before because of the way that the semester starts on a Tuesday.
Despite being the dead period, we can host them. Yeah, that's big.
Pretty cool to have some big weekends. So obviously we do those spaces with Josh, so check out Knowles247 for a more in-depth recruiting kind of analysis of who will be on campus and who will be around for that. But that Deuce Spann, man, I didn't go back and watch video either, but I mean there were just some timeline clips kind of popping around, and there's some pretty, I mean, you know, nobody's gonna post like the bad videos and be like, oh, we're going to this transfer, here's where he muffed six punts, or not that he did, you know, or dropped this or did this, but pretty good stuff going around.
What I like about him is, you know, he went to Illinois as a quarterback and switched to receiver this year. So you know that football IQ of what the offense is trying to do, that's not going to be a problem for him. Because if, you know, someone brings you in to play at a Power 5 school as a quarterback, and typically in high school, everyone plays quarterback, right? They just put the best athlete at quarterback on, you know, smaller schools especially.
That's what they did with me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I do like that he has quarterback experience, and he has a lot of eligibility left as well. I think he's got 3 more years as well. So interesting guy to keep an eye on. Like you mentioned, he doesn't plan on taking any visits, but he does plan to make a decision. And you know, pretty much the entire Florida State offensive coaching staff is in contact with him, to include Ron Dugans. Just, you know, interesting to point out there.
Yeah. So Florida State is going to continue to remain active in the transfer portal. We've talked about this a lot on the spaces. Wide receivers, one that I think that they'll take one more. Yeah. Need to be pretty active at the defensive end position, edge rushers, defensive line, you know, defensive line in general. I don't know that they would take a tackle or not. There's some talk about moving Briggs to outside, based on who's coming back with Lovett. Shout out Robert Cooper. Shot me a follow this week, not to flex too much on you guys, but there's that. Love Robert, glad he's coming back, of course.
Yeah.
But edge rusher really big, linebacker really big, running back with Corbin leaving. I'm really excited for Trayshawn Ward this year, you know, just kind of as a side note. He's somebody that I do think will be really, really good for Florida State. I'd love for him to show us why we don't need a transfer running back. I do think for depth reasons, you know, you probably want to bring somebody in, but I'd love for him to be, you know, a number one that we can really like say, man, that kid got it. So excited for Trayshawn Ward. And then maybe I'm running through all of them. So if you have any points on any of these positions, we can go back and talk about
it. Well, also Toa Philly, I think with Ward and Toa Philly, you really have something there, but like you said, it running back, I mean, the odds that both of those guys stay healthy the entire year, like, you know, James Wilder and Carlos Williams or Devontae Freeman, excuse me, did in 2013, it's just not likely. So you're going to need that depth, but I do think they like what they have in Ward and Toa Philly. And I do as well.
Yeah. And then potentially a quarterback. Now I believe that I don't want to speak for you, but I guess I'm about to, I believe we are both fully on the JT13 train. Do not believe that anybody's going to come in here and take that job from him. I think this is his team, and I'm excited to have him at quarterback. Just as good as he was on the field in the second half of the year, he also is really, really good on slamming cats on Twitter. which has been really, really fun to watch. You know, Miami
he broke
fans,
that poor Miami kid's brain.
Oh man, you know, it is kind of fun to watch Miami, but not only their, you know, delusional fans, but their players just wake up thinking about Florida State. You know, like it's just, you know, it's cool to watch, but you know, when you come from behind and beat your rival in their biggest game of the year, then you know, I'm glad that they wake up thinking about us. But yeah, I do think that there's the potential that Florida State brings in a quarterback transfer for depth. Maybe that's somebody similar to Jordan Travis. Maybe that's somebody with a little bit different skill set. Just because as much as we believe in Jordan Travis and do believe that he is Florida State's quarterback and wouldn't change a thing about that, his style of play lends itself to where, you know, at times he misses a game or a couple of plays or a couple of series. And you need somebody that's somewhat competent to step up and step in if and when he does go out. And obviously, I'd love for him to play every snap of all 12, 13, 14, 15 games next year, whatever we end up playing in. But college football is weird. You need a backup. You know, Florida did well with a backup at times this year. A&M, you know, lost their quarterback early and had a backup step up and win them some big games. So, like, you just you need that. You know, Miami – starter goes down, backup comes, you know, like a lot of, you know, this is not a, you know, I do want to say this. It's not just such a Jordan Travis problem that it's like, man, Jordan just can't stay healthy, which he hasn't put together a full season yet. I will say that, but every other team has needed backups too. Like I just said, A&M, Florida, Miami, Clemson, all these teams use backups this year. So you got to have somebody that's somewhat competent in that position.
Especially when you have a running quarterback, right? Because it's no secret that Jordan Travis is – that's what makes him such a good college quarterback. And I agree with you. I think this is his offense. I'm excited. He only has like one full season of experience despite feeling like he's been here forever now. But yeah, I do think you got to bring a backup in. You know, look no further than our most recent game against Florida. If Travis stays healthy or if you have a competent backup, and that's no shot against Milton or Rodemaker, they just weren't ready for that game. Maybe you win that game. Maybe, you know, you take advantage when you were moving the ball a little bit. So I think it is important to get someone in here. I don't know if it has to be a dual threat guy because, you know, Brady White at Memphis was perfectly fine and not the most mobile quarterback in the world. So Mike Norvell, I think he can make his offense work with either one, but I do think you need someone else other than, you know, Tate and Duffy, because I don't think Duffy's going to be ready next year.
No, I agree. And I don't want to rush him along. The last time we rushed a quarterback along, it was James Blackman, and we threw him in way too early and, you know, kind of see how that career ended up. So yeah, no, I really would prefer to not see Duffy's take snaps. I was going to say if it's late in the year against a bad opponent, I wouldn't mind him seeing get some reps because you could play four games. But we don't play I think all our easy games are beginning of the year. Like Duquesne's at the very beginning of the year. Then we play LSU. Then we play Louisiana. Then I don't think we have another cupcake game like that for the rest of the year. Like it's all conference stuff or Florida or LSU or whatever. So I think that maybe, but I don't really know that I want him taking reps against, you know, maybe if like Syracuse is late in the year or something like that, but even that was a dogfight last year.
So we have Louisiana on November 19th, the week before Florida. So we'll play Billy's old team and then his new team back to back weeks.
2-0. I thought that was an early game, so that's interesting.
No, you got Duquesne in August, and then LSU the next week, and then Louisiana and Florida to close out. So you open with two non-conference and end with two non-conference games.
So Louisiana's a good, like they built a pretty good program there. I do think they're pretty senior heavy, and I think that's why they had success this year. So that game shouldn't be the worst. I don't know. There's just not a lot of like absolute give me's on the schedule besides that Duquesne game. Is it Duquesne? What? Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, it's Duquesne, and
how do you know this?
Because I follow their basketball team.
Oh, okay. I've watched
them play basketball.
I didn't know if it was like, the spelling. Like I'm.
I don't follow the basketball team, but I've watched several Duquesne basketball games throughout the years. They're a team that just randomly pops up in the tournament every once in a while that, you know, you want to watch. But it'll be the first time in 6 years Florida State opens their season with a win since that 2016 Ole Miss game in Orlando.
I hope. Knock on wood.
Attack Mike's bags himself if they don't win that one.
Yeah, I got us going 2-0 to start the year and then 2-0 to end the year. We'll see how it goes in the middle. But give me 4-0 and
give me two ACC wins and we're going Bolton, baby.
Done deal. I got us beating Miami too. So there's one. You just pick one more and we're in a bowl. What do we got next? All right, I think that pretty much puts a bow on football. We'll talk a little bit later about some more of it here in a moment. Basketball's had a week off, a little over a week now.
Yeah.
But they start ACC play on Wednesday against Boston College. Then they have at NC State on Saturday, at Wake the next week. What, you know, excited for basketball to be back over this COVID stuff? Or
man, this is going to be a rough basketball season. I think we're going to see a lot of games canceled or postponed. I'm glad the ACC got rid of the forfeit rule. So just real quick for the ACC, they have a new rule now. It says, if possible, games cannot be played as scheduled, they'll be rescheduled. If a game cannot be played, it cannot be rescheduled, it'll be a no contest, which is nice. So for men's and women's basketball, because we do talk about the ladies a good bit here, you have to have at least 7 players available and 1 coach available. If that's not the case, you can't play. So with contact tracing, I don't know how they're doing that, but this new variant, this Omicron, it's out there like crazy. Thankfully, people aren't getting as sick, but it's impacted a lot of.
We're not still contact tracing NBA, vaccinated NFL. People, are we?
I think when you get a positive test, I'm not sure. I'd like to get more info on that, because the number of college games, not just college, NFL games being moved, NBA games being moved around, like it's. I think it's going to be a weird basketball season, very similar to last year. The only difference is we'll have full arenas, which will be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I will say the NFL, like, didn't they come out and amend their policy? And they were just like, yeah, we're not going to be, we're not losing money over this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I don't want to make it so political, but yeah, like, to contact trace and then make kids sit out that are vaccinated and healthy and non-symptomatic. I mean leave it to the NBA. Yeah. I mean, political or not. For the NFL to say, no, we're good. For the NCAA to just, you know, do the opposite, it just doesn't really shock anyone that the NCAA would be stupid.
I think the NFL is a perfect example of let's put a policy in place for optics until it starts hitting the bottom line. And then, okay, let's switch things up a little bit here. But, yeah, it's, you know, 3 really winnable games for Florida State if they all get played. Wake Forest is actually 11-1 right now, but they haven't really played anybody. I don't think they've played a single ranked team yet. BC and NC State are both kind of what Florida State is, not really, you know, taking care of business in games they should. But, you know, Florida State, that there's varying opinions. Is this team a tournament team? Is it NIT team? Or are they just going to miss the postseason? I just hope these games get played so we can see, because I do think there's, you know, a good core of talent on this team, and I will never doubt Coach Hamilton.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I do think that the choppiness and it I'm not looking forward to much of it at all. I think it's kind of crazy. Yeah, so
just get me to the tournament, and if we get in, great. If not, I'll fill out my bracket and go from there. And pray we have a normal season next year.
If we don't get in the tournament, bro, it's going to be time to lie anyway for football season. So whatever, I'll transition my basketball lies into football lies. So excited to see the basketball team get back at it. Both basketball teams get back at it for sure.
Yeah, they're both paused.
Spring sports coming right around the corner with tennis and beach volleyball and all those other things that we really enjoy watching and cheering along, and softball and baseball.
All sorts of good stuff. Yeah.
Those won't be too far down the road. Bowl season. Bowl season's taking a hit right now too. I talked about this last year. And I said, like, oh, maybe 2020 is just making it really bad this year and it'll be better next year. I just want to say bowl season officially sucks. It's time to change it. I don't know if that means expanding the playoffs. I don't know
you have to do that.
But the bowl season sucks right now. None of the games are good. Okay, I'll take that back. Like, 1 out of every 5 games is good. Like, 20% of the games are good. So many blowouts, so many opt-outs. We've got entire teams opting out now. You know, and they're, I think they're using COVID as a guise, but like Hawaii even said it. Like, they were like, yeah, we're, you know, due to COVID and injuries and opt-outs, like, we're just not going to play. And it's just like, what are we doing here? I don't know. I'm frustrated with this bowl season. You know, we just had another cancellation coming up. for tomorrow's game, the East Carolina Boston College game. Fortunately, Western Michigan and Nevada are still on as of now. That's an 11 a.m. or so Monday morning, 11 a.m. Like, that's right up my alley for sure. But yes. Bowl season right now sucks. Hopefully some of these better games, we say better, but like the after Christmas games, because like if you play before Christmas in a bowl game, you're a joke. Mine is Liberty. Hats off to Liberty for their performance. But they're a small school. Let us live. But like, you know, Auburn plays Tuesday. Louisville plays Tuesday. UCLA, NC State, West Virginia, Minnesota. Then on Wednesday, Clemson plays. Oregon plays. Thursday, North Carolina, South Carolina, Pittsburgh, Michigan State. Like, hopefully as we get to these better games, we'll have less opt-outs. I do think these traditional, like, football powers typically care more. But nobody cares about the bowls. Nobody cares about bowl season. What used to be like the best month of the year, like the end of December, beginning of January with all the bowls, was it just sucks now. Like, it's not good. It's terrible because all the players are opting out. All the teams are opting out. We just need to make the playoffs 16 teams so that at least 16 good teams, or like the 16 best teams in the country, none of their players will opt out. And like, that's just the way to fix it. Like, to me, that's the solution.
I haven't watched a single full bowl game all bowl season, and I probably won't until we get to the Friday when the playoff starts. It's just, but with the opt-outs, and listen, I don't blame kids who sit out of meaningless bowl games because they don't want to get hurt. I think that's actually really smart if you're a legitimate NFL prospect. Yeah. But I remember, you know, 2006, my freshman year, we played UCLA in the Emerald Bowl, and like Lorenzo Booker goes nuts and has the game of his life that we all thought we were going to have when we signed him as the number one recruit in the country. Or number one running back, he doesn't play in that game because he's a senior. You know, he's going to the NFL. He's like, I'm not playing in the Emerald Nuts Bowl in a baseball stadium in San Francisco. So I don't blame these kids, but I agree with you. It's terrible. Like, you got Jimbo ducking A&M over like 8 or 9 days before the game. It's like, we're good. We're not going to play. We got COVID issues. It's not enjoyable because what I love most about bowl season growing up, especially as I got, you know, older into my teens, early 20s, was seeing these, you know, players that came to Florida State as freshmen. You follow them their whole career. And then they, you know, the bowl game is kind of like they're, you know, riding off in the sunset. And players used to love that. Seniors used to treat bowl games, no matter what it was, as extremely important because, hey, this is my last time I'm going to wear this garnet gold and put the spear on my head. And it's just not exciting anymore. I like you said, you got to expand the playoffs, 12 minimum. Maybe 16 teams, because then those games actually, you're not going to have players opting out in a playoff game, right? If they have a chance to win a national title, even if they're the 16 seed and everyone knows they don't have a chance, much like I don't think anyone sees Cincinnati giving Alabama much trouble, you'd at least have these players playing. So it's, or, you know, you've heard the suggestions like have bowl games before the season as exhibitions that don't count against your record or something. Yeah. And I know these are massive sweeping changes that will not take place, but something's got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them bumping the, you know, playoff up a couple of times to get it up there. But, yeah, I just think that, you know, if you bumped it up to 12 or 16, I wouldn't necessarily put 16 against one. You know, maybe you have a couple of buys. That's where
buys, yeah.
16 like plays.
Playoffs. Yeah,
I give the top four teams a bye and make 16 play five. And then, you know, six plays 15 and so on from there.
And you have to have, at least the first round at college stadiums.
That'd
right?
be fun. Yeah. So like, who would be the fifth seed this year? Who was number five?
Was it A&M?
No, they went 8-4.
Yeah.
Number five was Notre Dame. That'd be awesome. You imagine Oklahoma State and Notre Dame
football in South Bend in December.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. And then like Utah, Ohio State, you know, or maybe anyway, it'd be fun. That'd be fun. Baylor, Ole Miss, have a game at Baylor, you know, a playoff game, and they were the 7 seed, Ole Miss was 8. That wouldn't be the matchup. But anyway, yeah, that'd be a ton of fun. But it would at least keep kids – and I agree with you. I don't have a problem with kids opting out and doing what they think is best for their career. But the product is less enjoyable now, and so college football needs to shift because – and I'll tell you this, teams keep opting out of bowl games, they're going to shift something because they're not about losing money. So, like, something will happen. It's one thing for your best players to opt out, all of that. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of bowl season right now. So, all right, so the one bowl that we did enjoy that has happened besides the Liberty one was UCF just really taking it to Florida. Did you catch any of that? I only caught really the second half. We took the kids to Busch Gardens the other night. That kind of ran into that. We got over there a little later than I wanted to. Shout out my guy Josh to hook us up with tickets, not Newberg, but Greenberg, all same tribe though. Did you catch any of that Florida UCF game or see the highlights or anything like that?
I was not going to sit on my couch the week of Christmas and force my wife to watch UCF and Florida play. I had no interest. I was following on my phone and getting some live reactions on Twitter. Definitely enjoyable, but I hate Florida, but you know, our season's over. Like, I'm not going to sit down for 4 hours and watch a team just hoping. I'm glad they did.
This is not what the people want to hear, bro. Like, let's talk about it.
No, I'm telling you. So it's funny. So my wife is a UCF grad and she had no desire watching it. But like I said, I was following along the phone. I did find it funny that, you know, I know there was nearly a fight after the game with some players and their fans like, oh, wait, we didn't care about this game. Well, the tickets sold out in 2 days and you guys were close to getting into a fight after the game. So I think your players probably did care. UCF was just a better team and Dan Mullen, you know, better coach, obviously not Billy Napier coaching this one, but he takes the L as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's hard to say that you didn't care about the game and then you watch the, you know, largest crowd in Gasparilla Bowl history. Ticket, you sold out your allotment in like a day and a half, 2 days. You know, players are throwing punches in the game, getting ejected, fighting after the game and taking to Twitter and everything else. And so, it's hard, you know. And if they'd have won, I mean, you know, the whole state champs and brother, and this is why UCF doesn't matter and you'll never be in the Big Three and all this other, like, all that stuff would have flowed.
To me, that's the best part. They cannot claim state champs now.
Yeah. that's why I was big UCF.
That is the best part.
Because we blew it, but at least UCF did us a solid there. So congratulations to UCF on your state championship, beating USF and Florida in the same year. You guys deserve it. By transitive property, and then Florida beat us, so they're ahead of us, and then we beat Miami. So Miami's last. Miami, you know, UCF, Florida, Florida State, USF, Miami last. So I'm good with that.
But it does make you feel better about next year because that roster for Florida that played in the bowl game is largely what they're bringing back. Plus, they're bringing in the 51st ranked recruiting class. So things may look up next year at Doak Campbell Stadium Thanksgiving weekend.
No, we're not losing to them, bro. We only lost them because Travis was hurt a couple of drives. They're not good. Like,
no.
I mean, they were 3 points better than us. Don't get me wrong. I mean, great. Great job. You barely beat a 5-7 team at your own place. Like, they're not beating us in Doak next year. Like, they're not good. They're terrible in the trenches. Not that we're great, but our offensive line continues to improve. Our defensive line is good. And, you know, obviously losing Johnson stinks, but defensive line with the defensive tackles coming back and stuff like that, like, their trenches are terrible. Like, they got bullied by UCF. UCF was running all over them. Like, I'm not worried about, I mean, you know, long way to go until that Florida game, but their roster is shot. Like, that's a project. That's work for Napier to have to do to turn them around because they're brutal.
I didn't realize how good guys like Kardarius Toney and Kyle Trask were in college. Like Kyle Pitts, obviously everybody knew that, but he lost those McElwain recruits and it all went downhill. And like I said, he just signed the number 51 class in the country. So it'll be interesting to see what Florida does. Cause I think the entire Big Three is going to be very active in the portal the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, so the playoff games that are coming up, you know, should have a little bit more excitement. I mean, I hope that Bama game is more competitive than we all probably fear that it will be. What are your thoughts on the playoff this year? And then you also wrote in here, you know, yes or no on the semifinals on New Year's Eve. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah. So I think that's going to be like where you are in your life, right? Because I probably would not have liked them on New Year's Eve, like in my early 20s when I'm going out downtown, you know, staying out till 2 a.m. and everything. But now, like, I have no desire to do anything on New Year's Eve except to eat a nice dinner at home and watch football. So that's perfect. I think we're actually going to go to a friend's house and watch it. So I love New Year's Eve football, but I get why college kids, younger kids may not like it. Obviously, the wife's really excited for the Bama game. I don't think that's going to be much of a contest. They're favored by 13.5. I think they probably cover that. But the Georgia-Michigan game, that's where it's at for me because Georgia's favored by 7.5. I think that's going to be a really good game. Michigan's every bit as physical as Georgia is. Now, they may not have the horses that Georgia has, you know, man for man, but they're a physical team. And just ask Ohio State that they're going to be competitive. And I think that's going to be a great game. Very smart by the committee to make that the second game and Bama kind of the matinee.
Yeah, I agree. I like that being the earlier game. And then if you, I mean, I'm not going out on New Year's Eve, but then if you do want to go out and you don't have people over, you know, the blowout being the night game is the way. I can remember going out a couple of times and it being like the Michigan State versus Bama game. And you look up and it's like nothing. You're like, oh, you know, like I didn't miss anything here. So I will say I wouldn't have minded if it was the other way too, because I'll be home. So watching the game after the kids go to bed is would have been nice, but whatever. I'm excited for it. Yeah, that Michigan-Georgia game, I mean, that's going to be a ton of fun. I do think that that's one that we will really, really enjoy and look back and say, man, this was a great game. I do think Georgia pulls it out. Like, I've got Georgia winning that game. I don't know that I have Georgia upsetting Alabama. I really need to see them play better. I did talk with Allie about this. I didn't think Georgia – I mean, the difference in that game against Alabama was just turnovers. Like, they still had 450 yards on Alabama. You know, and they got down inside of the – I believe – okay, so let's just look back at it. Let's look back at that Alabama-Georgia game the week of the 13 – no, week 14. That game, it was a seven-point game at half, and then Alabama scored to start the second half to make it a two-score game, and then Georgia drove the ball 56 yards down inside of the red zone and threw an interception. You know, and I'm not saying like, oh, if not for the interception, but yeah, like they drove the ball on Alabama pretty much at will and then threw a pick, force a three and out, drive the ball 54 yards again into Alabama's red zone and turnover on downs. You know, if not for driving the ball, I mean, they drove the ball down in the red zone two times. If they'd have just really just kicked field goals there, it'd have been an 8-point game. And they'd have been right back in it. Their defense forces another punt and they throw a pick six, you know? And so Alabama stepped up and made the plays when they needed to. I'm not saying Georgia gave it away or anything like that, but outside of a couple of big plays, two fourth down stops, a pick six, when the plays needed to be made, the better team made them. And that was Alabama that night. I think Georgia was in that game a little more than the 17 point lead dictates. Yeah. They still went up for 450 yards on them. If not for a pick six, I mean, you're talking about a 10-point game late. I do think that rematch, if it happens, will be a good game. I'm not saying that Georgia wins it, but I think that game, the final score is a little bit misleading. Now Alabama won. I'm not saying like they were a player away or anything like that, but
yeah, maybe next week or the week after, we can bring like Andy Staples or Barrett on here and just talk national championship, because I do think the national championship game is going to be good. If Michigan pulls the upset, I'm not sure I like them that much against Bama. I think Georgia is definitely the team built to beat Bama. If anyone's going to upset them again, I don't know. I just, like I said, I'm not overly excited about the Cincinnati-Bama game. I'm going to watch the whole thing, obviously, but I'm really excited for that second semifinal. And
you root hard for Bama, or you kind of want to see the upset quietly? Like, don't tell Lindsay, but you kind of want to see the upset?
No, I'd love it if Cincinnati won. Like, I'm more indifferent. And she is a rational Bama fan. That she's like, if they don't win it this year, she'll be like, okay, well, we've won plenty. I'm not mad about this year. If anything, she'd be like, oh, good for Cincinnati. They've never won anything. Like, that's kind of how her mind works.
Yeah, well, that's good, because
must be nice to have so many championships.
It must be nice.
If we won them all in the 90s, right? If we won those three straight in the 90s and then we lost it in like 2003, we'd be like, oh, whatever, you know.
Dude, when the Lakers won three in a row and then lost to the Pistons 2 years later in the finals, like, I was absolutely livid. Like, I was just like, I was not rational. I was also 14, so like, give me a break there. But like, yeah, I was not. I mean, it didn't matter how many we won. When the Lakers won two in a row, they lost the title to the Celtics, then they beat the Magic, then they lost to the Celtics. They went back to the playoffs the next year and got swept by the Mavs. And I can remember being so mad. That's when Ron Artest like clothesline the guy and Bynum, you know, hit JJ Barea, and I was just like, you know, good. I'm glad they. I was so irrational. So good for Lindsay for being a better person than me. So yeah, we'll talk more about the playoff with that. Well, it'll be after that happens, but I guess we'll talk about the national championship. All right, let's do this and get out of here. Do you have favorite college football moments of 2021 outside of FSU? I don't know that I have a ton. I don't even know that I can think of anything, but
no, the only thing I could think of outside of Florida State is the, I forget his name, but the punter from San Diego State, who was just bobbing like 80, 90 yard punts. Half of the season. Like he kind of low key took the country by storm. If you get into the weeds of college football. But yeah, not a lot. I can't think of any game that I saw that was just like, wow, that was crazy or anything. I mean, Bama, I mean, there were some, the A&M was a fun game to watch. I still do have a soft spot for Jimbo.
That was a ton of fun. The LSU Florida game, you know, neither one of those teams are any good, but the LSU Florida game that was 49-42 was a ton of fun.
That game always delivers.
That game was crazy. The Samford Florida game, I mean, 122 points scored in one game. I know that I'm just kind of, you know, going through all the Florida ones.
I did enjoy Miami losing multiple games on the last second field goals or missed field goals.
Like 3 weeks in a row. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. You know, moment of the year for FSU. You know, I guess I'll do a football and a non-football. Beating Miami was certainly number one. I'll also say, like, that Notre Dame game, I know it didn't go our way at the end, but I mean, when you really think about it, that Notre Dame game was fantastic. And I'll say the play, my favorite play of the year was Jermaine Johnson's strip sack against Clemson and recovery and touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, I was more hyped on that play than, like, I was up, like, running around my pool deck. We had people over. I literally was like, he just won us this game. Obviously, you know, 2 minutes, fast forward 2 minutes, but that, to me, that was the most excited that I was all year. You know, the 4th and 14 favorite pretty play, close, but
yeah. Well, 4th and 14 is going to be, you know, here's the thing. It's because it was against Miami, right? If that was against
the result,
NC State,
and the result went our way.
Yeah.
You know, like if Jordan would have, like, fumbled the next play on the 1 yard line, then we wouldn't say that play. But, like, if you just really, like, look at that one play by itself, like, that strip sack against Clemson to take the lead was, to me, that was the best play of the year.
More so Philly's touchdown down the sidelines, right? That was just
– oh, yeah, same play. One of
the best football plays I've seen.
Same game. Yeah.
Yes, great game. One of the best football plays I've seen. Just the balance and awareness to know if I need to go down, I'm going to keep running. Because how many times do we see a player get up and, like, walk for a second and realize the whistle didn't blow and then they get tackled because they quit on the play? That was awesome. So, you know, not the greatest season with, you know, 5-7. No one's going to celebrate that. But there were some fun moments, and you know, and I'm happy that Jordan Travis has that 4th and 14. Like that was huge for that kid. And Parchment, you know, he would have been a forgotten transfer that, you know, 5 years ago people would have forgot his name, but now no one will forget his name because of that play.
Outside of football, I mean, obviously think about the softball run, both of soccer's runs were a ton of fun. You know, absolutely beating the crap out of Miami and Florida during that week of baseball was really fun. But I mean, you know, you got to end up saying that it's soccer in the national championship because winning a natty kind of trumps everything. So do you have any New Year's resolutions? Do you have anything you're planning on for New Year's? Do you do these?
So, not really. I don't even know why I put it in here because I figured maybe you do. But so me and the wife, we are going to do a dry January, which is going to be tough because you know, we got the NFL playoffs. We're going to the Bucks Panthers game on the 9th. My birthday is in January, but we figured we went pretty hard this holiday season, and we're going to take it a little easy and you know, kind of give our livers a break and eat a little better instead of just eating whatever the heck we want. So, you know, healthy January is kind of our big thing, and then go from there.
Yeah, we do something similar. We do Whole 30 every January. We've done it for years and years, and so it will happen again this January. Although you're not allowed to drink on Whole 30, I am allowed to do bourbon on a budget. Like, I can just have it, like, during the episodes. Like, I, you know, not allowed to, like, keep drinking the rest of the night or anything, but, like, if we do a review or a sample, like, I'm not taking the whole month off of, you know, doing the podcast. So anyway, all right, any shout outs before we get out here? Last shout outs of the year.
Shout outs, last shout outs of the year. Yeah, shout out my wife, actually. Today is 7 years from our first date. So shout out her. And yeah, I can't believe it's been 7 years. That's wild. How about you?
Shout out. Yeah, just shout out my family, wife and kids. We had a great holiday season. We had a great Christmas. We really enjoyed chilling and hanging out, and my parents are coming over today, and we get to do it all over again. So shout out my family. I don't think I have anything else besides that, though. Shout out the fam and Gunnels.
It's a good one. Good way to end it.
We'll be back next year. It's that time of year where, you know, corny white dads can make that joke.
See you next year.
You know, stay tuned. Everything we've got, I will say this. We do have some exciting stuff coming up. We're going to add a few members to the team, yes. All kind of off air production, but, we'll really help this thing move forward, and we're excited for, them. And so we'll make an announcement in the next few days, or maybe just next Sunday or right next Saturday, right? On the first, but, enjoy the last few days of 2021. And we will see you guys in 2022, where we've got a lot of exciting things planned. Thanks for hanging out with us again this year, and we will see you next time. Go Noles!